Jesus is risen. And very early in the first day of the week, they went to the tomb where the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Friends, it's a joy this morning again to be together to celebrate the risen Christ. As you are aware, we have been in this season for a week now. I know we started on Monday, Thursday, the washing of the feet, and as we prepared for the suffering and the crucifixion of our Savior. Then on Good Friday, we were together again to follow the steps of the cross. And we heard beautiful words, seven words spoken by Jesus when he was on the cross. That was beautiful. Last night, we were here for the vigil, and those who are present, it was nice. I think we are walking this journey together so that we experience the life of Christ. And today, he is risen. And that's why we are able to say, "Thank you, God, for coming to save us." Now, on this day, very early in the morning, the women are going to the tomb to look for the body and anoint it. But what do they find? They find that the body was out. Now, they found the angel there, and he said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." I think addressing fear is good, because it looks to be one of those human conditions that stop us from realizing life in its fullness. And so when the women came to the tomb and finding that Jesus was not there, basically they were afraid. So the angels addressed them, "For Jesus has been raised, just as he said." And I think it's our message today, this same message which the angels gave to the women that morning. "Not be afraid, for Jesus has been risen from the dead." Now, Easter is such a big miracle that I think it has many, many meanings. One of those will be that clearly it means Christ is risen, because the tomb was opened. It also means that Jesus has defeated death. Death is the last enemy, but Christ has defeated death. It also means that we as followers of Christ can rise from the dead and experience eternal life. And that is an assurance for us because of what Christ has done. And so let's continue to believe this gospel, that all who believe and believe in Jesus will also have eternal life. So that first morning, when the women made their way to the tomb, they had one question in their mind. Because you remember the Joseph of Arimathea is the one who gave out his tomb. It was new, and that's where Jesus was laid. And of course, a big rock was pushed at the door. And so the women were asking, wondering who was going to take away that stone so that they could enter. And that is a question of great significance. Because as you notice here, it is recorded in all the four Gospels that indeed the stone was huge. And so it was a problem for these women. In my life, I have had the opportunity to listen to this sermon many times. And when they talk about the stone, I still find it something intriguing, something that I want to hear more about. One of my lay leaders in the church used to preach the same sermon. The stone. Who will take away the stone for us? And so this morning, I want us to just reflect briefly about what this means to us. Because the stone is huge. The ladies wanted to anoint the body of Christ whom they loved. It was an act of love towards one who loved them. He loved them up to the end. So they wanted to convey that love to him. Now, the stone being rolled away from the tomb is, for me, an example of the obstacles that we receive in our lives. There are stones. Stones that are represented by circumstances in our various stations of life. These stones are there, and we wonder, how can they be removed from our lives? I know the greatest stone which we fear most is death. And we praise God because He has defeated and won death on our behalf. So the obstacles that are there in our lives that stop us from living and experiencing the fullness of life, those stones, each of us in our own ways can identify them. So I invite you to think about the life stone in our own situations, in our own lives. The obstacles that are keeping you from living a full, abundant life in Jesus Christ, here and now. Think about those challenges that are trying to keep you in your tombs, so to speak. Those battles that paralyze us with fear, that trap us, that try to stop us from living, really living our lives in Christ. And then, think about what Easter teaches us of how God's plan to remove this storm has been mentioned. Friends, as I have mentioned that morning, Mary Magdalene and the other men had every reason to be afraid. A man they admired and loved, and whom they had hoped was their long-awaited Messiah, was dead. And he had died the most cruel and awful way imaginable. He had been crucified. What does this mean to them? Their Messiah, their role model, and their protector, dying on the cross, crucified. That was a difficult situation because the followers of Christ were going to face persecution. The Roman Empire, the religious leaders of that time, now had opportunity to to deal with these people because they were believing and spreading a false message if Jesus is not risen. And so it was a problem of great magnitude. But look, the apostles themselves were so much afraid that they had locked themselves in a house. These women were better off because they had courage to go to the tomb, but not the apostles. However, when these women met the angel and he told them, "He is not here, he is risen," the women left that place with fear, but not the Friday fear, not the fear of intimidation, but the fear of God. There is joy in that fear because their master is not there, and they have been told he is risen. Fear of God, blessed with joy, now drives these women back. What we read in other gospels, they were told, "Go to Galilee and tell our friends," those are disciples who are hiding, "tell them he is risen." Sometimes I wonder, because this thing happened in Jerusalem, for those who have had opportunity to go to the Holy Land, there's a distance between Galilee and Jerusalem. But the women were told, "Go to Galilee and tell the people there he is risen." Somebody has thought Galilee is our home. It's this church of ours here. So the message and the mission is being sent to go and tell those people near you, "Christ is risen. Come to Advent Church and tell your friends, he is risen." And of course, later on, this message will be given by all these disciples to the world. So we have steps in terms of mission. Christ is risen, yes, for us as individuals. But he's also risen because they have given us work to do. Go and tell the good news that he is risen. So now, as we continue to put ourselves in the shoes of these ladies, now is our own time to believe in this good news. I have stayed here for quite some time. I've enjoyed your fellowship. I've visited some of your homes, taken tea. And actually, I normally I would confuse your meals because you like coffee and I like tea. So I reach there, you say, "Okay, Your Grace, you want to take coffee?" I said, no, I'm taking tea. So somebody has to go back in the kitchen and prepare tea. Thank you for all that. I have also enjoyed the fellowship in this church. We have brushed shoulders for others we have just looked at each other from far and waved. That's been very good. And my friends, the clergy, Father James, Alistair, David, Father Hanson, you have been wonderful for me. I want just to say, I think you have appeared that Christ has said, "Go and tell them," so that they can proceed with the message. And our beautiful choir, I sit here, they sing like the beautiful angels. Thank you so much. Our fellowship is testimony that indeed, few we may be, but we have a message of Christ's resurrection. So this morning, I just want to leave you with this message. Because as I go back to Kenya, I will testify on this wonderful team who are holding on the faith. And together, we can take this message as far as possible. Now, the message of resurrection, I want just to stress that a little more as I finish up. The message of the resurrection, if it never happened, then we will be more pitied. That's what Paul says. And I want us to believe it. Receive Jesus Christ, who had misrisen, receive him, because it is that resurrection, faith, that indeed makes life possible. Otherwise, it will be a life of despair. For even Paul says, without the resurrection, we should be pitied more than all men. Then he says that without the resurrection, we should just eat, drink, and die. Desperate. You see? But Jesus is alive and protects us against all despair and selfish indulgence. He is alive. The resurrection communicates a higher purpose. We understand that we are loved by our Creator, who has gone to great lengths to communicate his love. The resurrection reminds us that trials, the stones in this world are temporary. We may have to cut the cross for a short time, but there is a resurrection into eternal life. It is the glory we are going to. Despair is like a locked door, keeping one trapped in a room of pain. However, hope remains an unreachable distance, yes, behind those closed doors, but the resurrection kicks open the door to freedom. The resurrection kicks open the stones that keep you from experiencing life in full. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ opens the door for freedom, for peace, for hope, and for a better future. And so, friends, as I invite us in this church to ponder over this life of Christ risen, having conquered death, I think we go away today, having celebrated the resurrection day, with a lot of joy. Let's go jumping and running to tell the message that he is risen. And finally, God and us every time when he met his disciples that passed after the resurrection, he left them the word of peace. I want to also conclude by the same word. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Amen.